Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kikatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
Welcome back to the episode. In honor of this week's guest, our cocktail of the week is called the Phil Collins Cocktail by SeriousEats.com. To make a Phil Collins, you'll need 1.5 ounces of square one cucumber vodka, 3/4 ounces of fresh lime juice, 3/4 ounces of simple syrup, 1/2 ounce of yellow chartreuse, a dash of cranberry bitters, and soda water. Combine vodka, lime juice, simple syrup, chartreuse, and bitters in a shaker. Fill with ice and shake vigorously for 15 seconds. Strain into an ice-filled Collins glass and top off with soda water. Serve with a long spoon. So grab your Phil Collins cocktail and let's dive into this week's episode.
Welcome back. Today, we are getting comfy on the couch and turning on our big screens to be graced by one of Ioana and I's favorite Hollywood actors with Chicago roots, very importantly, Colin Eglesfield. You know Colin from his roles on All My Children, Melrose Place, The Client List, Something Borrowed, and truly dozens of other television and movie appearances. You've definitely seen Colin before. He has been in everything. Colin also has a podcast, Coffee with Colin, which Ioana and I absolutely love. It is a model podcast. Founded a mission-driven clothing line, wrote a book, and all around just seems like the chill kind of guy that you would want to strike up a conversation with, get a drink with, or learn a life lesson from. And we are honored because Colin is here today to share his experiences on some of his many works and discuss what he has lined up in 2023, including a new movie with our fave, Chrishell Strauss. Colin, welcome to Sip With Me.
Thanks for having me, guys.
For folks that maybe don't know you or maybe aren't familiar with your work, just give everyone a little bit of background on yourself and how you got into the world of acting.
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for having me. And yeah, it's nice to be able to talk to some fellow Chicagoans. I am currently in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I've been kind of someone who's been, I'm an explorer of life, I guess you could say. And I think if you talk
like that.
To any actor, they've usually got something going on or a few different things going on, because you never know when your next acting gig is going to happen.
Yes.
So, you know, as much as I love acting, and it's something that I didn't discover until later on in life. I actually grew up an hour south of Chicago, went to Marion Catholic High School, and then and then I ended up going to play a year of college football at Illinois Wesleyan, transferred to University of Iowa, and in my senior year, I was actually studying biology pre-med, was planning on going to medical school. And my senior year, I heard on the radio about this model talent search thing. And I was driving back from my waitering job at the University of Iowa Athletic Club.
Oh, my God.
At night. And, you know, you can travel the world and make a lot of money. And I was like, well, anything will beat this $7 an hour waitering job. I ended up going to the Davenport Holiday Inn and met these two women who were representatives of this model agency. And I ended up graduating, took the MCAT, and went to this model convention, got hooked up with this agency and started doing some modeling jobs. And they sent me to Milan, Italy, and then went to like Paris and London, and that like New York. And I was doing the Calvin Klein underwear box, and every 6 months going to do these Versace and Armani fashion shows and having dinner with like Elton John and Naomi Campbell and Spice Girls. And I was like, crazy. But I was always like, oh, this will last a year or two, and then I'll go to medical school. And when I was in New York, my agent sent me on some commercial auditions, started booking some of these TV commercials. And then they said, have you ever thought about acting? And I've always been kind of an introvert growing up. So it was not something I like, something that I was into. But they said, why don't you just check out this acting class and see if you like it. And this is what I say, like in my book, when these doors open up and these opportunities present themselves, I think it's so important to just go out and check it out. Get off your couch, get out of your comfort zone, just get out there in life and explore and see what's out there. Because, I've met a lot of people in life, and I was one of these people that when I was younger, I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah,
And
same.
like with school, we expect 17, 18-year-olds to decide what they're going to do for the rest of their life.
Yes.
And then here, we're going to spend $200,000 on your college education. And then, you have these like kind of existential crisis moments. And
Many.
I'm like, do I really want to be a doctor? I don't know. I mean, I didn't really know what was out there, but I knew like I just wasn't 100% sure. And I felt trapped. And I felt like my parents had spent all this money. And I was like, well, if I don't do it, are they going to be pissed off? And am
Yeah.
I going to let them down? And I think this is where a lot of, people get, anxious and frustrated, and they feel like there's something wrong with them because
Yes.
they don't know exactly what they're supposed to do. And I think it's so important that people travel and get out and have experiences. And I felt like maybe if I did that, I might find what it is that I am meant to do. And fortunately, I was able to do it and found this acting class in New York City. And once I found this acting class, I was like, ah, oh, okay. I think I found the thing that inspires me, that lights me up. And because anything you do in life is hard. I don't care. To be successful in anything, it's hard. You might as well find something that you're passionate about where it doesn't feel like it's work. Because otherwise, you're going to have a miserable life. And, I've done things that have been like, have made me miserable, but I've done those jobs knowing that it was going to help pay for my acting class, that it was in service of something that I did love and that I do care about. And so now, I do other things outside of acting, and it's not always what I want to do, but I know I get out of bed and do it. And it's, because it's a lot of it has to do with allowing me to be able to do what I continue to love to do. I think as we get older, we get a little more comfortable with advocating for ourselves and saying no to certain things and saying, no, these are my deal breakers, or this is what I'm going to do. And when I was younger, I think especially, I'm sure you guys know, growing up in Midwest, it's, a lot of that people pleasing, like, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
It is fine.
Nothing's collapsing in my
Yeah,
life.
you notice that when people are not being authentic, their voice raises like 20 notches. Like, oh, great. Yeah, it's fine. Like, oh, really? Like, are we talking like this? And it's like, because it's
Yes,
all bullshit. Like,
exactly. Thank you.
yeah. So when I got into my first acting class, my teacher was, she was like, how you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm great. She's like, bullshit. I'm like, wait, what? She's
How do you know?
like, stop. You don't have to people please here. Like, if you want to be a successful actor, you have to be honest, authentic, real, genuine. And that's what I love most about acting class, because it was the first place where I felt I had permission to just really say that I was not feeling good, or that I wasn't okay, and that I was scared, or that I didn't know something. Or and it's a great place. I would encourage anyone to take an acting class, because it helps you become more comfortable being like, letting your guard down and sharing with other people who you really are. And that can be scary for a lot of people, but what I've learned from my acting classes, and that's why I wrote the book, because it's a lot of what I've learned from my acting classes and working in the entertainment industry that I think everyone can benefit from, in terms of just how to communicate better, the things that we learn in acting class in terms of, just really actively listening to what your scene partner is giving you in order for you to be able to truthfully respond. I think a lot of people just don't do that out there in the world. And there's just a lot of disconnection. And I think that's why marriages break down, relationships break down, business partnerships break down, because everyone's trying to talk over each other. And I think it's really important that we start to learn some of these strategies that we learn as actors to be able to have better and more fulfilling lives.
I think you belong in Congress or the Senate. I think we need an actual authentic voice like you.
Yeah, I really feel like politicians need to take acting classes, because
it's so cringe.
It's so bad at lying to people.
I know. It's
you can read right through it. I'm like, oh my God, you just take one act, like have my act, like, and I keep acting now too. And I'm like, just give me an hour with you and I will like help you win.
I love it.
Just like being real. Like it's
Yes, exactly. And I appreciate you really emphasizing that, because Ioana and I were talking before the interview. Obviously to us, you are a really big star and you've done some really important good work with other really big important people. And we, with interviews like interviewing you, we get very nervous because we are just, you know, two average people from Chicago. But we were talking literally right before you jumped on about how we could tell from some of the work that you've done and the other areas of your life that you branched out to, like you said, a life explorer, that we didn't need to be nervous and that we could tell you are still an authentic, genuine person, even though people that maybe have followed your path maybe don't stick with that. And I think that's what a lot of people forget to do, especially in acting. My partner is the high school drama teacher, and he kind of, same thing. I had to make that pivot of life of decision. Am I going to do this? Am I going to audition? Am I going to go for it? Can I be authentic? Can I be myself? Mm-hmm. And he kind of figured out, I want to do acting, but I want to do it in a way that maybe I'm not the one that's always on stage auditioning, and I want to give back and have a little bit more room to breathe. And that's something that he struggled with for a long time, was staying authentic and true to himself and being okay with the fact that he's not okay sometimes.
I would encourage you, Aaron, to, and this is one of the things that I got confronted with when I started to audition, when I would go into these auditions and I would say, I would see these actors that I saw on all these other TV shows when I was a newer actor and hadn't really done much. And I would sabotage myself by saying, well, God, there's that actor. And there's
Yes, that's exactly what he talked about.
Like, you know, Ryan Gosling, like, why would they choose me? I'm just an average actor. And when we talk about this kind of stuff, and I've done a lot of work in terms of acting coaching, life coaching, therapy. And what I've realized is that a big part of our success in life is predicated on our subconscious belief about ourselves and about the world. And one thing I heard someone say was that our subconscious is always eavesdropping on what we say. And when we are constantly saying things like, well, I'm just an average person, or I meet people and I'm like, you know, I'm just a nurse, I don't do anything exciting like you do. Your subconscious listens to this stuff. And then we end up creating our life reality based on these hierarchies where we put people above us. And what I've recognized is that, you know, we're all just human beings here trying to find the thing that fills us up, that inspires us, that helps us make a difference. What the problem happens is when we feel like, you know, when our ego gets in the way, and when we live our lives based on what we feel other people think we should be, or what we think our parents want us to be, or what society expects us to be. And this is where I really faced some confrontation in my life, was in my acting classes, where I had to really get honest with myself about, I love acting, but am I okay giving up medical school and telling my parents I don't want to do that? And that was, I was nervous about that because they invested all this money in college. But my acting teachers really helped instill in me that the only way you're going to be successful in life, the only way you're going to have real long-lasting relationships in life is if you're honest with yourself first. You have to honor yourself in everything that you do, because people can tell when you are doing things to please them or to want them to like you. And that just completely creates, that eliminates any possibility for a real genuine connection.
Yeah.
It doesn't make people trust you. It doesn't make people feel comfortable around you. And so the more that you can be honest with yourself, and it took me a while to learn to say, no, I don't want to do that.
Yes.
No, like, please don't hate me. Like,
yes.
I was surprised at how people would say like, oh, okay. And I was like, wow. Like when I say no, there's power in that. Uh-huh. And like, I started to realize like the only way that you can walk into a room and audition and win that job is if you have to walk in any situation, is when you show up just knowing who you are and being okay with not everyone liking you or agreeing with you or wanting to, you know, be your best friend. And that's something that I got confronted with when I first started auditioning, because the fear of like, well, you know, I hope they like me, the judgment. And like, I would get so nervous to the point where it was hard to breathe. And
yes,
yeah,
had to go see a therapist. Cause I was like, why, when I'm in my acting classes, I love it. It's fun. I love to create these characters. But when I go into these rooms with a casting director and a director, and she said, well, what's different from acting class from here? And I was like, well, they have the power to give me this job. And she said, you hear what you're saying? You're giving them all the power, and you're walking in there completely disempowered, and that like they can't do a TV show without you, Colin. They need you. Mm-hmm. That you're an integral part of telling this story. And what really helped flip the switch for me was when one of my acting teachers said, your job is not to go into that audition and get the job. And your job in life is not to go into your job or into a relationship with them liking you. Your job is to go into that room and help that casting director, that director, and that producer find the best actor for that role. It may be you, and it may not be you. Most of the time, it's probably not going to be you. But if you show up not attached to you getting the role, but you're there just to, your objective is to help and be of service to these people. People can tell when you walk into the room whether you want something or if you're there to give. And when people sense that feeling of giving, they feel like, all right, there's not desperation here. Like, you've ever been on a first date with someone and they're like, hey, so where are you from? Like, what do you like? What's your favorite color? Like, what do you want to eat? Well, whatever you want to eat. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Nah. Like, do you have, it's like, and so we can tell when there's desperation. And they say that within the first 2 seconds of an actor walking into a room, or when the first 2 seconds of you meeting someone, you can tell whether or not someone wants something from you or not. And so that can subconsciously put our walls up. So that's what a lot of the stuff I write about in my book, a lot of the stuff that I've learned in terms of subconsciously how to show up, how to communicate, how to be more of service, how to communicate more from your heart center rather than your head. Because most of us live our lives trapped up in here and wondering, mm-hmm. Trying to figure stuff out. But when I ask people who their favorite actor is or what their favorite movie is, like, Iona, what's your favorite movie?
I feel like that's such a hard answer.
I don't know. Something borrowed. What's your favorite movie?
I have watched it like 50 times, I will be honest. But I feel like this is controversial, but I mean, I love Johnny Depp, so.
Okay, and like one of the movies that maybe is one of your favorites, what would you say?
I don't know, I'm feeling pressure. Okay, I have one. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That's like a classic, it's one of my favorite films. I've probably seen it again, like 50 times.
Okay, and that's Matt. That's Matthew McConaughey.
And Kate Hudson.
Yeah. So let's just pick Matthew McConaughey. Like he's great in that movie, right? Mm-hmm. Did you fall in love with him because of his hulky biceps and his pecs and his beautiful hair? And, you know, did you fall in love with him because of the way he looked? Maybe attracted to him, but
yeah, but it was more of who he was in the movie and how his character evolves and like his personality and who he was deep down in his soul. I feel like I know him.
Yeah. And that's where we fall in love with people and connect with people is from here. And I think so many people worry about like, am I wearing the right clothes? Am I saying the right thing? I have to be the best or I have to be the smartest. And really it's not about the best, the smartest, the best looking. It's about when people show up authentically themselves and be like, look, I'm not perfect, but this is what I love. This is what I do. I know not everyone's going to love me. When someone shows up like that, you're going to find your tribe. You're going to find your people. You're going to find your best friends. But when you show up trying to be everyone's best friend or everyone's flavor, people can tell that you're disingenuous. And you're not going to connect with anyone. And that's a big lesson that I had to learn with, when I started acting, because I wanted everyone to like me. I was like, I hope, you know, I don't fuck this scene up. And oh my God. And when you're worried about messing up or not messing up, that takes your focus off of just being present being in the moment. And the only way to have magic happen in a scene or in life is if you're just in the moment. And not worried about like what people think of you.
That's true.
This is great life advice. This like, is. I'm in therapy for this currently. So this is really helpful. Because I think it's so hard to be in the moment, especially like the way life is now with technology and everything. I just feel like it's really difficult to be in the moment. And it's like something I'm definitely working on in all aspects of life. So it's reassuring and comforting to hear that. Because it can be overwhelming and scary, especially at such a young age. We're 27, and I feel like we still have no idea what we want out of life and what our purpose is.
Well, you're doing something that's inspiring, and you're helping tell stories, and you're there's obviously something that you love about doing this that speaks to your soul. So you're doing it. Like, you are doing it. I mean, just because maybe isn't flowing in the way you want it to. And again, like, I do things outside of acting that I don't want to do because it allows me to do what I want to do.
Yes.
So I would say just keep, you know, doing what you guys are doing, because, you know, you guys got a great thing going, and just keep doing your thing.
I'm gonna cry.
I know. My eyes are getting hot. that means a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to stick with, especially in the podcast universe, where in the last couple of years, so many people have started podcasts. Then you do start, you compare yourself and go, oh, well, why don't I have that many followers? Or, oh, I'm not on that top list. Or, oh, I didn't have that guest. Or, oh, and then you lose track of, well, I do this and I did do that. And I made an impact on this person. And that interview was great. And that interview guest really said that they resonated with me and they appreciated getting to tell their story. And those small, it's almost a like a narrative shift in your mind of having to say, wait a minute, I don't need to constantly focus on the things I don't do and that I don't have, because there's actually a lot more that I do have and that I do do.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Therapy. And I appreciate you guys doing this to be able to provide the platform for me to share what I care about too. So. Mm-hmm.
We knew we would connect and that we liked what you were doing. Okay, so you mentioned your book and you also have a podcast. Mm-hmm. So give everyone a quick little gist about your book, what it is, what people can expect from it. And then also talk about your podcast. I love the name, by the way, and your graphics. Your graphics are amazing, and they prominently feature you. So,
Coffee with Colin. Yes, I'll introduce you to my graphic designer. He's actually my cousin.
Oh my God! Yes, the best relationships.
So the talk show Coffee with Colin came out basically from when I wrote my book. I didn't even expect to be able to write a book. I was in Los Angeles, and I got to a point in my career where I was tired of going to these auditions and waiting for people to pick me for their projects. And I just was getting to the point where I started to feel like, all right, it's time for me to, if I really want to keep working and create the fulfillment that I want to have, I need to start creating my own projects. And I want to start doing casting, and I want to get into directing and producing. And that requires us sometimes to get out of our comfort zone. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was easy to kind of hide behind my agent and my manager and just wait for them to tell me where to go and where to show up. But I was just feeling like just unfulfilled. And I just felt like I was kind of not living up to my full potential. And so I decided to leave Hollywood, and it was kind of a big kind of confrontation for me, because I felt like in a way I was kind of giving up, but I just knew I needed a break. I'd been going for 20 years, and my father had just passed away, and my mom was moving, and I felt like I needed to just go back home and reconnect. And I think this is what's really important in life, that you got to listen to your instincts. You got to listen to that little self that is like, is this the right thing to be doing? You got to check in with yourself and really ask, is this where I am supposed to be? And the idea of just moving back to Chicago kept coming up. And finally, I was like, I'm just going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I had started to get into real estate, and I felt like I just needed a break. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. So mm-hmm. I packed up, moved out to Chicago, and I started doing real estate, started rehabbing houses like in the south side of Chicago, and just started getting my hands dirty. And sure enough, within a month, I booked an independent film, and then I got asked to speak at this entrepreneurial conference at the Civic Opera House. And I was speaking to this group of entrepreneurs, and then afterwards, this woman came up to me and she said, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I was like, I wouldn't know the first thing about writing. And she was like, well, I'm a publisher, and you have an interesting story. I'd like to help you write a book. And had I not listened to my instincts and left LA, I would have never met my book publisher. So I ended up writing this book with her, and we got it done within like 8-9 months. And then afterwards, I went on this book tour, and what I thought was going to be this book signing tour at these Barnes and Nobles, I showed up, you know, in Minnesota and Seattle and Denver. And what I thought was going to be picture taking and autograph signing was a podium with a microphone, chairs, and people in them. And I was like, oh shit, I got to say something to these people. Like, oh my God, the nerves, like, what am I going to say? And I was like, well, I just wrote a book. I guess I'll just tell my story, and started telling what, you know, my journey from living across the street from the World Trade Center, when all that happened, that made me realize that life can end in an instant. And watching people jumping out of the towers really had a profound effect on my life, in terms of realizing that I essentially had a second chance at life. And I was like, what do I really want to do? And had those people that were trapped up in the tower had a second chance at life. If someone, you know, I imagined if I was up there and someone said, Colin, we're going to rescue you, and we're going to, you know, give you a second chance, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Or if they said that to any of those 2,000 people, I guarantee you they would not let any of these limiting mindset beliefs stop them from going after what they really want to. I promise you, like, when you are presented with life in those terms, the idea of what someone thinks about you pales in comparison to what really matters and what you want your life to be about. So I was like, I want to be an actor. I don't know how. I don't know anyone out in Hollywood. I've done two guest star roles. One is a male escort and one getting into bed with Jenny Garth in my underwear. Not the biggest resume to go out to Hollywood with, but there was something about, like, I was like, screw it, man. Like, let's just do it. And I'm living proof that you don't have to be the best, the most talented, and, you know, whatever. Because I went out to Hollywood with not the biggest resume, and I started booking these roles because I think I was going into these auditions like, all right, let's do this. Like, let's, you know, let's go. Like, and they're like, man, he's kind of raw, but there's something about him. And so this is what I write about in my book. And then 6 months into my 3-year contract with all my children, I'd been studying acting for like 7-8 years and finally booked this role. And then 6 months into my contract, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And so had to have a surgery and then radiation treatment. Then it came back a year later, another surgery. And so the chapter in my book is called Free Ballin', because you gotta create a context around things that helps you stay empowered. And it's a disempowering thing to like lose your manhood. And it was something that I didn't want to talk about for the longest time. But I realized that there is power and strength and courage in being vulnerable and sharing your story and getting up in front of these people. And actually, it's one thing to write it in a book. It's another thing to get up and say it in front of all these people. But man, like the amount of people that would come up to me afterwards and just give me a hug and say, wow, thank you for being so honest and real and genuine. And I realized that that's what people need and are craving in life is things that are honest and real and genuine and things that they can connect with. Cause it's so easy to look on Instagram and be like, oh, they're like, everything, life is great. And there's Lamborghinis and Ferraris. And why don't I have that? And why am I not in St. Bart's, you know, like I'm in Chicago and it's out. Like I'm a loser. And, you know, it's important to just recognize that, you know, as long as you are honest with what you're doing, and you're doing things that inspire you, because anything in life is difficult. Mm-hmm. Focus on the things that inspire you, like what you're doing here, and do it with people that are your champions. And one of my acting teachers said that you have to selectively put people in your front row of your life. And you can't always pick who shows up in your theater, because you can't pick your mom and dad. You can't pick your relatives. Uh-huh. If they're not your champions, you can put them up in the balcony. But the people who are your champions, that are your people that believe in you, that remind you of who you are and what you're up to in life, that's your front row. And make sure that you keep them in your front row and that you do the same for them. Because you can't do anything in life on your own. It's another thing I've realized, that to really make an impact on the world, it really requires you to get out and create value for other people.
Yep.
And the more value you can show up and give to others, the more they're willing to want to work with you and help you and serve you.
It's true. I was going to say, you are front and center in my front row, because you are the person I can be most raw with.
Yes, me too.
All right, my last question for you. You have a new movie coming out. I think it's slated for 2023, mm-hmm. if I'm correct. Tell us a little bit about it and what we can expect.
Actually, I have two movies. The first one is called A Rose for Her Grave. It's a Lifetime movie. And I got to work with my fellow All My Children alum, Chrishell Stouse, and I play a character named Randy Roth. It's a true story. And this is a real guy. He's actually in jail right now for killing two of his wives. And the story is about how he would go about targeting single moms and marrying them and then offing them to collect on the insurance payout. And, you know, the reason why I love acting is because you look at a character like that or a person like this, and you could easily just say, well, he's just an evil person. You know? Just bad. But what I find interesting about psychology and just why people do what they do, when you really examine like why people do what they do and who they are and how they got to where they're at, I think it's so easy to just be like, well, they should know better and they should know that that's wrong. And just because they did that, they should. And life is a lot more complex than that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think good people can do bad things. And I think once I started to do some research on this guy and seeing like how he was raised and his upbringing, I'm not saying there's any excuse or that it's okay or that I'm, you know, saying that's okay to kill your wife, but just doing a little more research and finding more about like all the characters that I've ever played. Once you start digging deeper and finding out what their upbringing was like, you can start to understand why people do what they do. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying that it's okay, but when you can understand where people come from, it creates, you know, an opening for a dialogue where the more people feel understood, the less they feel alienated, and perhaps maybe the less they feel ashamed for who they are and what they're doing. And a lot of the times people do really horrible things because they're in so much pain and they're experiencing so much fear and whatever in their life that they really don't know what else to do, or, you know, it's a cry for help. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, it's scary just to kind of see how many people are doing horrible things in the world right now. And it just goes to show you how many people are in pain and they need help, especially, you know, we witnessed it in Chicago this past 4th of July with this another mm-hmm. teenage kid, you know, shooting a bunch of people.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot more dialogue needs to be had to let people know that it's okay to have these feelings of anxiety and insecurity.
Yes.
And just, I think it's important that we provide an outlet for people to share who they are. And I think that's why it's important that you guys are doing what you're doing, and any opportunity that we can have to make other people feel that it's okay to not be okay, the better.
Yep.
And that's part of what I write about. And then after I was going on this book tour, the pandemic hit. And so I turned everything online and started doing some online coaching. And I do a 6-week course called Inspire, where it's a possible setting. And I help people rewrite their life script, where they get to write essentially a new blueprint for what they want their life to look like. Because the way I approach it is that we are all actors in our lives. And a lot of the times we've been miscast in our life based on where we were born, who we were, who our parents are, what religion or what school we went to.
Yep.
And there's nothing worse than being miscast in a movie. You can tell like that actor doesn't belong there and it's, it doesn't work. And this is people's opportunity to start rewriting the script and the story that they want to tell, that they want to leave their legacy with. And I ended up meeting the president of this stem cell company that I'm a brand ambassador for now. She took my Inspire course and I get to know these people, and because we talk about like what goals you want to create and what your act three look like. And she was telling me all about, you know, how the stem cell company here in Scottsdale was just expanding and exploding, and they just built headquarters down here, and they teach doctors about stem cell therapy and the science behind it and the treatments and the protocols, so then doctors can then go out to their back to their clinics around the country and offer stem cell therapy to their patients. And to be a part of something where I'm, you know, making a big difference in people's lives and helping them feel better, that makes me feel really good. And it's been fun to learn more about, like, you know, the science of all of this stuff. And so, and all of this would have never have happened had I not gotten out of my comfort zone and just said, all right, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to start doing this online coaching. And you know, I'm no different than anyone else. Like, I was terrified when I started doing this stuff, and I'm like, I don't know how to do it. But if you have if your motivation is, I want to be of service, mm-hmm. and my purpose is to make a difference in other people's lives, you can't go wrong.
Yep.
You can't go wrong. True.
This is the most inspiring episode that we've ever done. I knew it would be.
Go ahead, Aaron.
You can go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask. So you kind of touched on the two movies you have coming up in 2023. You're obviously doing so much. Do you have any other fun or exciting plans coming up in the new year?
I am working on producing my own projects. So I'm now working with a couple of directors and a couple of writers and producers to shoot my own projects. So I'm really excited about that. I've got a few different projects. I have a t-shirt company called Shout Out. Uh-huh. Got Velcro letters that you can spell messages and say whatever you want to. So I do a little bit with that. It's all about self-expression and makes a great holiday gift for anyone who's looking for a gift for the impossible person to buy for. And so I do some stuff with that. But yeah, I'm excited about also just entering to this new phase of my life where I'm dating someone, and I'm hoping that she and I will eventually get to a place where it will end up in a real relationship. And because I'm getting up there in age, guys, get married and have kids. And so does she. So I think I'm excited about the new year because there's a lot of really cool stuff that I'm looking forward to.
Yay. That makes me so happy.
You're so excited.
Yeah, I love it. Cool. Well, tell everyone where they can follow you and find you online and find your work and all of that.
So you can go to my website, ColinEgglesfield.com. You can go to my Instagram at Colin Egglesfield. And in my bio on Instagram, I've got a bunch of drop-down windows where you can check out all the stuff I'm doing. You can get my book. I also do something called Patreon, which is a platform where content creators can connect with audiences and people. I do every month I do Cooking with Colin, which I did last
week. Oh yeah, I saw that.
Up on Zoom and basically have like an international dinner party, which is a lot of fun. I do a meditation session. I've been trained in transcendental meditation, which has really helped with calming my nerves and anxiety for my acting jobs. And I do something called Hour of Empower, where I create like an empowering exercise for people to think about what they're going to accomplish for the next month or 3 months or whatever. And so that's Patreon that I do. I've got some speaking gigs that, I speak at corporate. I speak at companies doing motivational keynote speaking. Mm-hmm. If anyone out there is interested in hiring me for keynote speaking, I speak about resiliency and teamwork, leadership, and you can find out information on my website about that as well.
Awesome. I feel like we got our own 20-minute keynote speech. Amazing. Cool. Well, again, we genuinely appreciate you coming on. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We're excited to watch your new movies, and we will definitely have to revisit with you soon.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Let us know if you are ever back in Chi-Town. We'll treat you to some Chicago cocktail and food classics.
Ooh, all right.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book, as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram at sipwithme_.